Bisuros Tavos, Yeshuos V'Nechamos.
Amen. And my thanks, Rabbi Goldwasser. What important words on this Monday morning broadcast as we continue to focus on our brothers and sisters in Israel. Reb Shlomo Katz, who's a dear friend, a rabbi in Efrat, and well known for his incredible teachings, and even more so, possibly, for his incredible music that permeates the Jewish soul around the world, is with us live via telephone. He's had some very important things to say, as we all have been coming together in different forum, including this one, over the last few days. Reb Shlomo Katz, welcome back to JM. Reb Shlomo Katz. I'm not sure what that was, and I apologize, folks, for that. Welcome back to JM in the AM. You said something, and I don't know why I'm starting with this, but maybe it was just so effective the way it hit me. Someone asked you, one of the commentators that, one of the interviewers that you had spoken with over the last few days asked you about dealing with the why of all of this. And again, I think I'm paraphrasing properly. I'm certainly not quoting properly. Your reaction basically to me was, we're a people that lost 6 million in gas chambers. We don't ask why. Right. We try to move on, and we try to console our brothers and sisters, and we leave the why to someone else. I start with that because there's been a tendency for a lot of why since Friday morning. I don't know what's happening in Israel, but certainly here I feel there's a tendency for the why, and there's a tendency to question or to give answers as to why God lets certain things happen the way he does and with the timing that he does. I think it's important to keep in mind that that's a question that will go unanswered, and we need to keep that perspective, wouldn't you say?
1,000,000%. I think that I heard it. I first heard it at a shiva house many years ago. It's a horrible story of a mother of five who passed away, and someone was trying to console the family, and he said very simply, he said, "Lama yomru hagoyim." Right? The question of why, it's not a Jewish question. Ashrei ha'am, he says, Lama imru hagoyim, but then he said, Ashrei ha'am shekacha lo. Meaning, that's who we are. Like, it doesn't mean, God forbid, that you have to be quiet and not speak your heart, but understand that Lama, we have a lot of Lamas in our arsenal.
Yeah.
Eliyahu HaNavi is going to be very busy. Like, Keiko doesn't just mean in the Gemara that Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come and solve all the shilas between Abaye and Rava and Rav and Shmuel. Eliyahu HaNavi is going to be answering a lot of shilas, a lot of different shilas.
Shlomo Katz is with us from Israel. I mean, rightfully so, especially those not, you know, very familiar with you. Have been focusing on the fact that you were on your way to Meiron, and I get that. That's obviously, you know, an important personal account that you could have been there, so to speak, and certainly that pachad, that fright, I'm sure has been through you and through so many others that were either on their way or just minutes before or after were in Meiron. But let's focus more for this audience on the fact that you've been there before. Can you describe the elation? Can you describe the... So, you know, I made a point Friday when we still went ahead with the music part of our Lag BaOmer special, but obviously had a much more somber speaking part. I made the point that Lag BaOmer is unique. You know, even Purim, which is such a fabulously, a wonderful celebration, even Chol HaMoed, that you feel, you know, a certain yontif celebration... There are things that need to be done. There are requirements that need to be done, and therefore the day is sort of balanced. Lag BaOmer is one of those days that not only is it coming on the heels of Avelut, the whole first part of Sfira, but there's no other obligation, no Seuda you have to worry about, no mitzvot of the day that you have to be concerned with. It's just a day to get spiritually involved. Can you describe that elation when one goes from the first part of Sfira to the celebration in Meiron?
Absolutely not. And that's why I was having such a... I didn't even attempt to explain to CNN, or I just spoke to NBC a few minutes ago. I can't even begin to explain what the joy of the day is. How do you even explain what it means to bask in the light of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? I think it's impossible. Those of you that have been there know that it is a different type of simcha that you cannot put into words, because if you stop someone and say to them, why are you so happy right now? Why are you jumping? Did you just do a siyum on the Zohar? Like, I don't think that's why people go to the Shem Bar Yochai. It's impossible to explain. Almost the same magnitude of how it's impossible to really explain the pain that we're in right now.
Right.
It's also impossible to explain that moment, that simcha. Those of you that saw that heartbreaking picture of Dani Morris, Olav Hashalom.
Yep.
There's a, you know that, you know what picture I'm talking about, Nachum?
Oh, yeah?
That picture,
yes,
that was taken right. The bliss in his eyes with thousands of people in the background.
Yeah.
This is stuff we can't understand.
And I can't even imagine what his family is going through. And our thoughts, of course, are with them and so many others that are suffering this week of Shiva. And the suffering will go on for quite a while. Shlomo Katz is with us. We have, obviously, you know it, every time anything happens in Israel, the collective Jewish world and its collective Jewish heart aches in agony, but we are 6,000 miles away. In fact, I made a point. Some people know that I do a show in Israel on radio there Sunday through Thursday, and I'm always makbid to make sure that they, you know, that they play my show. But when they reached me and told me what's going to be, you know, what is expected, you know, Sunday and Monday of this week, I said, no. I'm 6,000 miles away. I cannot capture the real mood of the country. You need to have someone local sit in for me and, you know, and speak to the people who are suffering the way the suffering is going on in Israel. That having been said, and that realization by those of us thousands of miles away, can you describe both the Avel, the terrible mourning, and the incredible camaraderie of the last few days?
I'll do my best. The Avel, we haven't even begun to process the Avel. That's the truth. There's still, you know, up till last night, there were Leviah preparations. And this week, we're going to be running around from Shiva to Shiva house. When you have a list of 45 Shiva houses, you're just busy running from Shiva to Shiva.
Yeah.
Processing has not begun. The pain here is Mashu lo ma'olam hazeh, not from this world, but I have been advocating very strongly for adults as well as teens and youth to seek out any help, any mental health help that you need. Because this is of the tragedy here is of biblical proportions, and this is not stuff that any of us could ever prepare for. So people are reaching out and they are seeking help, because it's really, anyone that has watched, anyone that's looked at any of the images or have seen any of the footage, and I recommend not to, but anyone that has, you can't just continue your day. You can't just continue the thing. The pain is not from this world. So I'm, even here alive, I'm just reaching out to and saying, Chavirim v'chavirot, if there was ever a time to take advantage of the incredibly dedicated people that we have in our country, that have dedicated their lives in the field of mental health, it is now. And Baruch Hashem, we're very busy right now, very busy with orchestrating that and setting people up with professionals. That's on the Avel. But I want to tell you something else, Nachum. This is just as important. I feel it really strongly in my heart. Reb Shlomo Karlach used to always say a statement that used to drive me crazy. He used to say, The 6 million opened tremendous gates for us. He always said that the gates that the 6 million opened, I never understood what he meant until Meron. What happened right now in Am Yisrael, gates are open right now that I don't remember ever being opened before. None of us would have chosen to open up gates like this way. But the fact that they're wide open, we must seek a way to walk through them. What gates am I talking about? On Friday afternoon in Tel Aviv, by the beach, Mada, Magen David Adom, set up stands for blood donations for all the injured. Do you know that it was like the Mishkan where they had to turn people away, like Marbim Ha'am Lahavi, like they had to turn people away because the Tel Avivians, the people that were, they're probably coming from the beach or going to the beach or whatnot, they were busy online giving their blood for Amcha Yisrael. And further, This past Friday night was supposed to be the epic Friday night of the disco scene, of the pubs in Tel Aviv. That finally, post-pandemic, they were finally going to have their first major bash, major parties. A lot of money was put into these events. You know, they mamish canceled all these events in Tel Aviv on Friday night.
Wow.
Not because someone twisted their arm. Not because they thought they came to a conclusion that it would look bad on a PR level. They pashut couldn't. Ve ha'am sheli, that is my people. That's your people. That is where things really, truly are at right now. And I want everyone to know about this and spread that word, because these gates, I don't remember these gates being open like this before. And I just pray that we have enough humility to walk through them and admit that we really don't know how to get it together consciously. We're supposed to get together like this.
What does it say about our Tel Aviv brothers and sisters, and how much do you hope that that our Orthodox brothers and sisters understand what you just said?
Honestly, I hope that I understand what I just said. Let me start with me. I really hope that when I talk to you in a week, or when we schmooze in 2 weeks, I'm close to what I just said right now, as much as I am right now.
Right. I hear that. The Jewish people are a family that are unique. The Jewish nation, I don't think any other nation reacts to events like this the way we do. And that goes across the board, as you just described. And I think it's so important to keep in mind. So important to keep in mind.
Yeah.
Shlomo Katz is with us. One of the things that has to be going through your mind constantly, unless I'm wrong and I'm conjecturing incorrectly, I assume you've been on that ramp a million times. Am I right?
I was just there. When was I there? Chol HaMoed Pesach, I was there.
That's a month
ago.
A month ago.
We were just there.
And a day like that, there is a relatively small crowd, right?
Maybe there was 200 people, 250, yeah.
And so yeah. You literally walked there and you know exactly. I mean, I had said to my brother, Rabbi Yigal Siegel, who was with us in the last half hour, he's a Jerusalemite for the last 16 years, as you know. I cited what he went through during Ravadia's funeral, how for a few moments he was frightened that, you know, he would be crushed, you know, with the scene there in Jerusalem. I spoke of when walking to the Kotel, there is a stone ramp that you're familiar with, that if it in fact is wet and you're my age, you walk very, very gingerly. I mean, this is the exact same thing. This is the exact same thing. And where people started, I assume, to, you know, at the front to just walk with more hesitation and just backed things up and unfortunately ended up in this terrible episode. It's another lesson in the preciousness of life, and just, you know, and I'm not condemning anybody here. I'm just saying that how each of us has to, you know, God gives us life and we have to be so careful to protect it and to protect others. And again, this is not an evaluation of what Israeli public safety officials did or didn't do. I'm just saying that it's so vital. You mentioned this young man from our area who was killed in the episode. You know, 1 minute you are enjoying a great spiritual experience and frankly something that you will tell people about for the rest of your life, and the next minute it's all over. And I think it's just an important thing to keep in mind. There are a lot of perspectives we need to get from this episode. That's certainly one of them.
I think you're touching upon a core here, Nachum, like you always do. This is very, very important what you're bringing up. I want to take you back to Friday. We, basically, Friday, 2 a.m., we're almost at Meiron, and then we get the call, start text messaging coming into the van that we were in, basically telling us it's not happening, something happened, you got to turn around. Together with thousands of others, we began our journey back home to our home. Get home about 5 a.m., sleep for, I don't know, I don't even remember, probably 2 or 3 hours. And then I get a call from Dov Lipman, our dear chaver, Rabbi Dov Lipman, who is working for Am Yisrael day and night. Dov is Eved of Am Yisrael. It's unbelievable. Eved Hashem is. Dov calls me and says to me, Shlomo, your chaver from your tehillah, Eli Cronenberg, needs to come to Abu Kabir. Eli Cronenberg, those of you that know Rabbi Ira Cronenberg from New Jersey, from the state.
Right.
Rabbi Ira Cronenberg is the grandfather of Donnie Morris.
Right.
Eli, his son, is Donnie's uncle.
Right.
And since there was no blood relatives in Israel, Eli was called to come to Abu Kabir. Abu Kabir is the center in Tel Aviv, which is basically the morgue where you come for purposes of identification.
Right.
Identifying bodies. So we get to... I drove him there to Abu Kabir to Tel Aviv. I'm a Kohen. I can't walk into the building. So Dov takes him. We're outside. And I'm seeing all these families that with a desperate look in their life for a sign of life and perhaps a miracle, some kind of a sign of life that maybe it's a mistake. Maybe it's a mistake. And all they wanted was a sign that there's still a pulse, that maybe they are still breathing. It was a scene I'll never forget, and I haven't processed yet, but I'm actually also talking to someone professional to try to work this out. And you know what hit me so strong, Nachum, is what you just said. You know, we spent so much time on Friday, so many families were looking for a sign of life by people that are possibly dead, or were most probably not in this world. But can you imagine if we spent our days right now searching by people that are already living, but trying to find more signs of life in other people?
Yep. Yeah, you're so right. You're so right. And I'll tell you one other thing that comes to mind, and this is maybe a message for the older people, but really for anybody. We talk about wanting to do certain things, implementing certain things in our lives, especially spiritually. Do it today, everybody. Tomorrow sometimes doesn't work, as we've learned. Do it today.
Oh boy.
Tomorrow does not always work, and we need to keep that in mind. God has given us life and has lent it to us. He has not given it to us permanently. He has lent it to us. And you mentioned, by the way, Ellie and Ilana. The Abelo family, as you know, is one that we know for close to 50 years. And I should mention that we are thinking of them and their extended family, of course, with the Morris family as they go through all of this. It's important for me to mention that for another reason, Shlomo, and that is that this is a tragedy that I don't think there's anybody in the Orthodox world that doesn't know a family or an extended family that's going through this trauma right now. I myself could cite five families I'm familiar with, and I'm sure you can as well. And I think that that's another piece to this, is that, yes, there are a lot of tragedies, and obviously every one of them affects us. But here it just hits so close to home. It's so hard not to be heartbroken. It's so hard not to be sad. It's so hard not to be with them in spirit as they go through all of this.
And it's normal, and it's healthy to be devastated.
Yeah.
It's normal, and it's healthy to allow yourself to basically look up to Shemayim and be like, and you could say Lama without the expectation of having an answer. And but like you said, there's no house that hasn't been stricken here with some form of grief.
Yeah.
Everyone has a neighbor. I mean, when you look at the list, they sent out a list a few hours ago, or last night, I think, of the Shiva houses. I mean, it's throughout the neighborhoods of Beit Shemesh, of Beit Har, of Yerushalayim, of other... It's everywhere. This is everyone. You know, it says about Aaron HaKohen, Vayishkus, we learned the din of Shloshim from Deoraisa, from the Torah, because it says when Aaron HaKohen died, I think it's Vayishkus, Aaron Shloshim Yom, Kol Beit Yisrael. Every house in Am Yisrael was hit. When Aaron HaKohen died, it's the same thing here. There's this sense of everyone is in Avelut. And even though Bibi declared one day of mourning, he didn't even have to because, you know.
Oh, you all you knew that Sunday was going to be an impossible day. And it sounds like it continues till today. Maybe not as strong. Obviously, as the week goes on, things will start to get a little bit back to normal and people will be able to continue the recovery from all this, but we knew on Friday how difficult Shabbos and Sunday would be for our brothers and sisters in Israel. Finally, Shlomo, and I don't know if this is an appropriate time to bring it up, but I don't know, for me, it hits me. We talk about the uniqueness of the Jewish people. My father used to talk about the fact, and then, of course, extend it to a more, you know, higher level, the fact of how the Jewish people rebound. I mean, there are terrorist attacks, some severe terrorist attacks, and you know this, that you'd walk in that area where it happened 6 hours later and you couldn't even tell there was an attack. And I bring this up because I wonder, we have a tradition, of course, and that is to bury the dead immediately or as soon as possible. That is our tradition, and it is a tradition because of Kavod HaMeit. It is regarded as the ultimate respect that one could have for someone who just passed away. And frankly, I don't know exactly because, you know, of the nature of the disaster, but I would assume there were some funerals actually before Shabbat. I would assume. I don't know, but I would assume there were some.
There were. Yeah. You're right. There were.
And yeah. I wonder, and again, I don't mean to minimize the Kavod HaMeit aspect, because believe me, there's nothing more important when someone passes away than to, you know, quickly deal with them as quickly as one can within reason. But do you think sometimes that on a different level, there's a message in our tradition that we need to do, of course, our mourning, and we need to look at the past and experience the present, but especially us as a Jewish people, we need to get back to moving on, so to speak, or to continue moving. That's a better way of putting it. I don't like the modern term of moving on. To continue moving as soon as possible as well. Do you think there's something to that?
I actually like how you just phrased that, to continue moving. If you're moved on, then that's a scary...
Correct.
Yeah, that's good what you do. I actually really like what you just said. You know, this is where halacha comes in, is the oxygen of the Jewish people. Halacha mandates these things. Halacha speaks about getting up and not continuing to stay in a state of mourning.
Right.
So this is a Torah-driven emotional process. So because if it was up to us, I don't think anyone would move forward.
Right.
Or even attempt.
Good point. It's good we have the Torah and the rabbis to give us a little push, actually. It's interesting.
I think it's life-saving on every level because it really, especially in this situation, it would be too easy to sink into this on the level of becoming paralyzed.
Yeah. I never thought our post Lag BaOmer conversation would be about this, frankly.
No, when did we spoke? I think we spoke right Erev Lag BaOmer. We were talking about what's happening in Efrat, and
we're
going to be with Avram Rosenblum.
I mean, literally on Thursday night, before you went to Meiron, you and I were in touch about both of us would spend Lag BaOmer. But each of us jealous of the other, frankly.
That's right. That's mamash exactly that. I remember now. I forgot until you just went on the phone.
And then this happens, and I went back to my text. I think we may have actually known about this before you even heard on the road what was going on, and you were minutes away from Meiron. The whole thing was just the way things move today. It's unbelievable. The way things move, and it's so hard to be sensitive to the families because of the way the news comes out, and that's another reason why I think, you know, people collectively just feel this pain together. Again, I wish we could be a little bit more sensitive during this era to the immediate families, which is terrible that we can't be because of social media and how quickly the news gets around. But there is something
I'll
to this.
I'll explain. I'll just share with you that happened to. What you just described, just to give you the scene, I'm in the van about to make a U-turn, and my brother is about to go on stage in Woodmere for the Eish Kodesh Hilula by Rabbi Weinberger, and his sons had just left Meiron a few minutes before.
Oh.
It's just like this. It's crazy. From Meiron to Woodmere, back to the northern Israel, and this is how it was like for thousands of people.
Unbelievable.
Thousands. Yeah.
Stay well, my friend, and keep inspiring the Jewish people. We need you now more than ever, as the expression goes.
Amen, Nachum. Thank you. I miss you, and I hope that we get to be there for each other forever.
Yeah, and I hope that. I mean, originally I thought we'd actually reunite in Israel in the month of May. Doesn't look likely now, but... I hope very soon. The one and only Reb Shlomo Katz. The one and only Reb Shlomo Katz, who can help console the Jewish people and help console the entire world in the aftermath of this episode. This is America's one and only Jewish Moments in the Morning radio program, heard on listeners-sponsored digital radio around the world, the web at NahumSiegel.com and the Nahum Siegel Network, and of course on the beloved NSN app.